A lot of times we don't know what people's going through. Everybody didn't have a happy Christmas. That's just the truth. Some folks sick, some folks going through hard times. I was on the phone this morning with a person that was broken. Broken, I'm talking about just weeping. And basically they were weeping over something that they had done. And I don't know if sometimes if we're not careful, we do things and we get ourselves into situations and we don't think the Lord's going to forgive us and we don't think the Lord still loves us. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing you can do for God not to love you. Amen. And you always remember 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He put that in there for a reason because he knew we were going to mess up. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, we're going to be reading verse 9 through verse 17. When you get there, let's stand. And it's I debated on whether to come back to Revelation tonight because, you know, we're coming out of the Christmas season and everybody's happy and joyous and, well, we're just going to go ahead and get right into it, amen? I mean, it's the truth, and with everything going on in this world today, we best be on the lookout for Jesus, amen? Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, and he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and it rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We thank you, God, that we can read your word, God. And like we've already said about this, God, this is the only book that says we're going to be blessed by reading it. We're going to be blessed by listening to it and hearing it preached, God. And bless us right now, God. Have your hand on us. Help us right now, Lord, to take something out of this word tonight, God. Each and every person in this building, apply it to our hearts, Lord. And whatever's done, we'll make sure you get all the praise and all the glory. We love you, and we thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The first four seals and the events of these verses are during the middle portion of the tribulation. It's the time known of Jacob's trouble. If you go back and study Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, the fifth and sixth seals were open, and that's when all chaos comes on this earth. Now, many people, when we read this, if you ain't careful, as Christians, we'll get depressed and we'll get to thinking, how can a holy God do that? But you got to understand something. God is taking wrath on the world for what they've done and they continue to do to him and his son. Amen. Amen. God has every right to judge this earth. Amen. He created it. He made us. He has every right to judge. And he's going to do that, and the wrath is going to be poured out during the great tribulation period. Now, I want you to look at the verse 9 through 11. It's talking about the martyrs. And we know that a martyr is one who is killed for adhering to a certain belief or believing in the Lord. This passage just does away with two doctrines that are taught in the world today. Number one is the doctrine of sleep or soul sleep. How that when a person dies, that they just lay there in the grave and this passage does away with that. And it also does away with the doctrine of purgatory. The Bible says right here, these souls they're not praying for anything. They're waiting on something. When you look at the ones that's under this altar that we're looking at right here, the cost of the allegiance to the Lord. Many people are going to be destroyed during the tribulation period. Now, understand something, I'll get into it a little bit more in a little bit, but even up to now, there are people that have been martyred even now, and I don't believe that the tribulation period has started. I believe we're close. Amen. I believe with all the events going on in the world today that we're getting close to what we're talking about here. We're getting close to the rapture of the church. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now just because people talk about you on your job don't mean that's persecution. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. If we're going to stand for what's right, we already see it in America today. You stand for what's right, the LGBT and all them other kind of nonsense people, they come against y'all, the gender people, they're coming against the church. And I'm telling you, if you stand for what's right as a church and you stand for what's right as a people and you stand for the word of God, people are going to talk about us, they're going to persecute us, but that's all right. They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted the disciples. So you and I are no better than them. Amen. Amen. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John chapter 16 verse 2 says this, and they shall put some of you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth it in God's service. There's a lot of people thinking they're doing what's right. Amen. But we know they're not. There's a price to pay for being devoted to what's right. Amen. So you can be a church and go along with everything and nobody's going to talk about you. You can be a church and just say this is all right and that's all right and don't stand against nothing, don't preach against nothing, and nobody's going to talk about you. But stand up for what's right. Stand up for what the Word of God says. Stand, and I'm telling you, everybody's going to talk about you. Even the religious crowd's going to talk about you. But there is a price to pay for being devoted. Now, I want you to notice something. The cry of vengeance. Look at verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? This is a strange cry for us as Christians. We're taught to love everybody. We're taught to be tolerant of everybody. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches us. But you got to understand something. The church is gone at this time. This is not the church. This is not the Christian. This is the one that's been martyred in the great tribulation. We have examples in the Bible of what I'm talking about, how that Christians, you and I, are to be tolerant. The Bible says when they stoned Stephen, Stephen prayed and asked God not to lay that sin to their charge. Understands? And the Bible, notice what it says. They say, how long, O Lord? Now understand this. This is an Old Testament phrase. This is not a New Testament phrase. Psalms 94, listen to this. Psalms 94, verse 1 through 4. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. And I believe that during the tribulation, it's the age of grace is gone. What you and I teach today in the New Testament age of the church, the age of grace is gone. It's going to resort back to the Old Testament times, because we know that they're not going to be teaching the kingdom of heaven. They're going to be teaching God's kingdom. They're not going to be teaching the church age. They're going to be teaching the kingdom. And understand something. When it goes back, when it goes into the tribulation, it's going to go revert back to the law. And they're praying, God, how long before you're going to avenge us? How long before you're going to pour out your wrath on all these that's doing this? That is strange for us as Christians to understand, because we're taught to be tolerant. Understand something. God's going to deal with them. Now, let's look at the comfort of an all-knowing God, though. The Bible says in verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them. You get that? White robes were given unto everyone. And all of us that have been taken out of the rapture, we already have white robes. We have an all-knowing God, an all-loving God. And those that will stand with him in the tribulation will be rewarded. They will have white robes. They were given unto them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Understand something. We have an all-knowing God that's going to render out rewards to the ones that need reward. And amen. And he's going to have wrath on the ones that need wrath. And I thank God that we have an all-knowing God. I thank God, even right now, he knows everything that you and I are going through. He knows what you're facing today. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows every up you got. He knows every down you got. Just like I said, everybody's not having a great Christmas. But praise God, I know that God in heaven knows that everybody's not having a great Christmas. And I'm telling you, you're in a season right now that you might be down in the valley. But I got an all-knowing God that can pick you right up. Hey, next week he can lift you up to the mountaintop. Understand something. These folks were serving an all-knowing God. You and I at this time are going to be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be rejoicing, but there are going to be some people down here that are still going through hard times. But God knows this, and God's going to reward them for what they have to go through. Now, the title of my message today, if I was going to title it, would be When Prayer Don't Work. When Prayer Don't Work. Verse 12 through verse 17, and I'll get into that. This is one of the most awful and frightening scenes in the Bible. You're looking at a public or a world in panic. Seven classes of men are portrayed right here. It says the kings of the earth. It says great men. It says rich men. It says chief captains. It says mighty men. It says bondmen. That word bondmen means slaves or those in bondage. And it says free men. Now understand that right there covers everybody that's left. If you're left on earth, this right here is talking to you. If you missed the rapture, this right here is talking to you. This is all that's left on the earth. This means every human being that's left alive at this time are getting ready to go through what this talks about. This is a race. This is a universe. This is a world in total chaos right now in what we're getting into. Imagine the worst thing you've ever gone through. Imagine the worst thing you've ever seen society go through. And most of us, I'll be honest with you, most of us in here today has not seen society go through a whole lot. Amen. I'm just being honest. The oldest ones that we've got in here are not old enough to basically remember World War I and World War II and what they had to go through back then. They've seen society do some crazy things. We've all seen society do some crazy things. Let me tell you something. What I saw through COVID and what I continue to see today, I know society's going nuts. You want to know how crazy people are? Go to Walmart. You can kind of see a little bit of it. But imagine a whole world in chaos. Imagine a whole world where nobody loves you. Imagine a whole world where when you go somewhere like Walmart or whatever, nobody speaks to you. Everybody looks at you like you've done something wrong. Everybody looks at you like they want to kill you. Everybody looks at you like you're the one, you're the enemy. Imagine nobody trusting nobody. Imagine all the world in chaos. You thought COVID was bad. You just wait. The earth is in total chaos. This is predicted in Haggai chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Understand, in the last 4,000 years, there have been 13 million people killed from earthquakes. Whew. You ever thought about this? Men, we rely on stability. When I get up in the morning, I get out of bed, we rely on stability. When we come into God's house, we rely on stability. And I'm going to say this because when we were building this sanctuary, now listen, when we were building this sanctuary, I told the folks that were building, I said, I want the sanctuary, this altar, reinforced. I've been to churches before, Jackie, where I would stand behind the pulpit and there would be a soft spot there. And you actually stand back there and you rock a little bit. I said, because I want stability. I want to be able to stand on this pulpit and be stable. Amen. When you get out of bed at night, you want to be stable. Nobody likes walking on uneven ground. No, we want stability. Imagine being, I've never been in an earthquake. Anybody in here ever been in an earthquake? I cannot imagine the ground shaking under you and no stability. That's what the whole world's going to be going through at this time. The Bible talks about there's going to be earthquakes. The Bible says that the sun's going to become black. Now, we've had this happen before in history. Most of us have seen the history channels on about the different things about, asteroids hitting and it be darkened out. But back in May 19th, 1780, New England's dark day, an unusual darkness for daytime and the sky was observed over the New England states and part of eastern Canada. The primary cause of this event is believed to have been a combination of smoke from forest fires and thick fog and cloud cover. The darkness was so complete that candles were required from noon on it, and it did not disperse until the middle of the next night. Understand something. At this point in time in the tribulation, it's not going to be because of no fog, and it's not going to be because of any kind of thing. I believe that God's going to reach over and turn the light off. Amen. One scholar put it at like this: the sun's going to go into mourning, and God's going to cut it off. Now imagine you're having earthquakes, and now it goes dark. Now, see, understand something. I believe at this time we'll still have electricity. It won't be like it was in Egypt when everything got dark and you couldn't even see anything. But can you imagine right in the middle of the daytime, people walking outside and it'd be black? Everything that mankind up to this point has depended on will go out, will be rocked to the core. The Bible talks about the moon's going to become as blood, the reddening of the moon. We all know the power of the moon. And we've seen this over the last few years. There have been a couple of blood moons that people have seen over the last few years. But this time, this is going to be different. The Bible says that stars are going to start falling from the sky. Understand something. What man has used for centuries and centuries to navigate the world and navigate the ocean, the stars are going to move. They won't even be able to do that. Everything's in chaos. And if you miss the rapture, you're going to be here. Everything that man has depended on, everything that man has thought stable is going to be gone. The Bible says that the heavens, the sky is going to be rolled back like as a scroll. I don't know what, I tried to study this out today. That no scholar can really give you any kind of definition of what this is going to be. I believe it's going to be such chaos, and I believe that the stars falling, and I believe the moon controls a lot of things. I believe it'll almost look like that the skies roll back. How many of you ever seen storms roll in where it looks like it's just kind of rolling in and tumbling in and tumbling? Can you imagine it doing it the opposite? We're talking about chaos, folks. Imagine the worst movie you've ever seen about the apocalypse and multiply it time 100. The Bible says that mountains and islands will be moved. Now, unless God would just come down, Chucky, and do that, this is talking about an atomic war. I've studied this out. I believe this could be an atomic war. Do you realize we have more nuclear weapons right now that we could destroy the earth 17 times over? All stability is gone. Everything's gone. Ain't it amazing that sometimes that God has to get our attention and bring us to that point, even now? I thank God for those people that get saved. They come to church and they get under conviction. And I'll be honest with you, this was kind of how I got saved. I didn't have to go out there and lose everything. I didn't have to go out there and get strung out on drugs. I didn't have to go out there and I wasn't laying in a ditch somewhere. I didn't have to go through all that for God to get my attention. Thank God that he got my attention before I had to go through all that. But some people had to go all the way to the extreme, Brother Tommy. I'll never forget Scoopy's testimony. Brother Scoopy would stand up and talk about how that me and him talked about it a lot in detail, how that he'd wake up in ditches and he woke up one time on somebody's porch. Didn't know how he got there. Sometimes God's got to pull the rug out from under our feet just to get our attention. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Now, I want you to notice these last two verses. Let me go back and read. Let's go back to verse 15. And the kings of the earth, this is everybody now. Remember what I told you? This is everybody that's left. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. I thought about it as I was studying this. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say. We've all seen the stories and we've all read the history books about the caveman. Instead of man evolving, now at this time man's going to start devolving. Now they're running back to the caves, Jackie. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now listen, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? They're going to seek refuge from somebody you can't hide from. They're going to seek refuge in the rocks and in the mountains. Steve, as I was thinking about this and studying, the great men, the kings, the great men, the rich men, we all know that they have these bunkers deep in these mountains where they can take the president. We all know that they've got these bunkers deep in these mountains where they can take these political leaders and all these great rich people. They're going to get in these big bunkers and hide in caves, and everybody from kings and politicians right on down to the common man is going to be trying to hide from somebody you can't hide from. They're going to be praying to the wrong thing. They're going to pray to the mountain and they're going to pray to the rocks. It's too late to pray at that time. They say, hide us from the wrath of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They know who's coming. You know, it's one thing to try to hide from somebody that don't know how to find you. But can you imagine trying to hide from somebody you know is going to find you? And that's where they're at. They're praying to the wrong thing, and they're praying at the wrong time. And it ain't going to do them no good. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath. That word wrath there means anger of the Lamb. Remember what I said a few weeks ago Now you and I are able to call out on the Lamb. But when this tribulation starts, the Lamb's going to turn into the Lion of Judah. And he's going to pour out his wrath. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? What amazes me is they know this. They know that, Richard, they know this and still won't call out and ask for God to touch them. The Bible goes on to say, and we'll get into it in probably in the next few weeks, the Bible goes on to say at some point in the tribulation that the heat will be so bad and they'll mock and they'll curse the God of heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen, hopefully everybody in here tonight is saved. Hopefully everybody in here tonight, you where you need to be with God. Praise God. Thank the Lord. And this is just a study of what's going to happen. But if you're in here tonight and you're not where you need to be, I wouldn't leave this church without making sure I'm right with God. Because I'm going to read it one more time. I'm going to ask Juwan and Brother Ralph come back up here and just play something. I'm going to read this one more time. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There was an old commercial. I remember an old commercial on TV years ago. It was a mechanic type commercial, and I think it might have been Napa or somebody, and the old commercial said something to this, you know, you can pay me now or pay me later. Some of y'all remember that. Think about this. You can get it done now, or he'll take care of it later. Right now, we can call out on him as the Lamb. Right now, we can call out on him as one that loves us. Right now, we can call out on him, just like I said when I started, it don't matter where you at right now. It don't matter what you're going through. God loves you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus died on that cross for you. But at this time, when the church is called out, the anger and wrath of the Lamb of God is going to be poured out on this world. And he has every right to do it. I want you to bow your heads with me. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not where I need to be. And I know I'm not where I need to be. I don't want to have to stand before the Lamb at that time. Would you please pray for me? I won't call you out.